Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 444. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony and his delicious drink.
Where's Wallace and Jeff and Earl?
That's the later one is the bigger. We know where Jeff is. He's being lazy. He went to a movie and then he was like, I want to play that new From Software game.
Which we've decided he's probably going to suck at.
Yes.
And I really look forward to next time him complaining about how hard it is.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll be interested to see how far he gets in it.
You should never build your gaming strategy around waiting for somebody else to come in and beat the hard enemy for you.
Yeah, it's not necessarily a good approach. Especially if they take that part of the game out.
Yeah, I really look forward to what he has to say. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, he's he could go one of two ways on this. He either ends up like, oh, I love it. Actually, that'll be exactly how it is next week.
Great.
Tell us how, and then 3 weeks from now, it'll be how he hates this game. It's the worst thing ever.
Where's Earl? Where the fuck is Earl?
That is the question I'd like to know. He sent us a list.
He just signed on. He's here.
Yes, that is my fault. I was literally playing a division, and I'm like trying to finish the mission so I can join.
No, okay. It's like he I think he was gonna be here. He gave us a list of news. Like,
he's like, I played something new. Like, yeah, great, because I didn't play anything new.
Yeah, and it sucks that I was playing something new that I was just kind of playing, and I thought that if I guess the final mission took longer, not the final mission, but the mission we were playing took longer than anticipated.
Your last mission of the day.
Yes.
So yeah, tell us about the Division 2. That is the new hotness, I guess.
That is the new hotness. Like I was just telling my friend, one, part of the reason we got it was because Anthem shit the bed and we were looking for a 4-player co-op game, and it just happened to be the alternative. And it works with the Ubisoft design, because Ubisoft just tends to put a bunch of stuff on your open world, stuff for you to collect, things for you to find, you know, side missions. And it just kind of works because, like, there's always something to do. Like, granted, most of it's kind of the same thing, but it never feels the same. It's like, you know, go to a point, kill a bunch of enemies, capture this, retrieve that, protect these people, whatever. But it's fundamentally, it feels nice. And then a lot of the missions I've played are actually, they set up their firefights in such ways. Again, it's kind of a bunch of hordes of enemies rushing you, but with different environments. Like, there was one that was really cool that I played, where most of the room was just set ablaze. And so it's you trying to navigate between the fire and also, like, the smoke and, you know, the distorted screen. The one I just finished before I joined this podcast, it was like we were trying to hijack a television signal. And in order to stop us from hijacking the television signal, they set up EMPs. So, like, when you encounter them, there's EMPs going off, which means you can't use your special abilities until you take out the EMPs. And, your screen's kind of distorted. Like, you're getting signals from a bunch of different stuff because, like, your technology is just on the fritz. And that, again, was kind of cool. Kind of frustrating, but, you know, it made it a priority. Get rid of the enemies, get rid of the EMPs, so you can kind of have a clear shot at the boss when they come out. I like that each, you know, like, they find ways to kind of make these firefights, especially the big encounters at the end of the main story missions, a bit different than the thing that came before it, by using either the environment, introducing new types of enemies, you know, like putting you in a bigger or smaller space, you know, distorting your screen view. You know, there's fights that are multi-level, like we just had one, like it was 3 levels, so, you know, it's like, where do you protect yourself and, you know, in order to take up the people beneath you or above you, or do you want everybody beneath you, but, you know, you don't always have the perfect shot because they can be running underneath and stuff like that. So, yeah, I'm having a ton of fun with the Division 2 right now.
That's good.
We were both debating whether to get it or not. I think both of us decided we're just going to hold off to see how good it was.
Yeah, I think, and this is a very low bar to cross in this day and age. I think the thing that most sold me on the Division 2 is that it works at launch. Like, there hasn't been any massive headaches. It's not like, oh, it's add-on content, and more content will come in a roadmap over the next 6 months to a year. It's, like, it's a game. It's a complete package so far. Like I said, there's a ton of stuff to do. I haven't encountered any great game breaking bugs. Like, my equipment seems to level up and do us more damage as I increase my level. Enemies scale up with you, so you're never kind of running into, you never really running into encounters where, like, you're just mowing through enemies. There are places like in an open world game where I got my level. I have two characters right now. When I'm playing with my actual, I always hate saying that, but my actual college friends, which is why I got the game. So I have one character that's kind of kept to keep pace with them, and then another character I'm just doing for fun. So my main character is level 7 or 8. So, there's areas with that the game goes up to level 30. There are areas on that map which you go to, and it's like level death, and it's like, okay, I'm gonna avoid that area for now. But like anybody else who's on the stage will kind of scale up with you. It's like, what was level 1 or not, like level, 7 or 8 enemies as well. So it's never really boring. The one thing I do have an issue with, and I always have an issue with this, and I know there's no way around it, it's just like all the enemies are bullet sponges.
Yeah, that was one of my problems
Yeah.
with the original game.
Like, I shouldn't have to shoot somebody 4 times in the face with a shotgun to take them out. It's like, I get it that you don't want it to just be instant win, but it's also super like, these folks are just human, right?
Right, like that's where like it was a little bit of a turnoff for me, is like they give you these real world weapons, you're fighting against like other human beings. Like, you're it's not like Destiny where it's like, all right, we're gonna throw this like weird alien captain thing at you.
For gears, even.
Yeah, or Gears where they're not human, so it's like, all right, maybe they have a different physiology. Like, if I shoot a dude in the head, he should die.
Yeah. And even stuff like, oh, I set somebody on fire, they're running around, but they still survive. It's like, it's weird. Again, I get it, but it's that disconnect that you're going to have with real world people. It's like, yeah, I'm not going to shoot somebody with 20 rounds and they're going to be like stumbling, but not dead.
Well, it sounds like you're having some good fun with it, though, so that's good.
That's good. And like, oh,
Is
go on.
it set up for like it, one of the things that I ran into in the beta was like it seemed particularly difficult playing by myself. Like, is it set up for that you should be playing with 4 people or?
I mean, I kind of am with you because a lot of the mechanics is like are set up for. I used to play with another friend. So somebody who can, revive you, somebody who can have your back, because a lot of enemies will flank you. You run into encounters where you might be getting attacked from both sides. So if it's one player, it's very hard sometimes to cover your own back. And I don't like there. You do have specials. Like, I have a turret on one of my characters, but even then, that's only so much you can do, especially with a massive cooldown of like 2 minutes.
Oh, right. Yeah, you're gonna be defenseless for a little bit, like.
Yeah, but there's also a lot of mechanics in there, I guess, to help augment that. So, certain areas you can just call in general help from. Like, if you take an area, you can call in help from a control point, and some of the other people on your side will come to your aid for a bit. You can always, kind of like Monster Hunter, you can always send up a call for help and summon people who are around your same level or who are doing the same mission to help you out.
Okay,
And they
that's
can join at
cool.
any time. So I've had people join at the start of the mission and run with me. I've had people join in like the boss room.
So it's like Monster Hunter.
Yes, but better because I can play with my friends at all times.
You don't have to see the cutscenes first.
Yeah, you don't have to do the cuts. I honestly did not pay attention to the game story. I've heard a lot of people say it's not that great, but
I'm shocked.
yeah, it's kind of one of those things that get about an open world shooter like this is that you don't always do stuff in order. So like, and then they give you like a bunch of missions open up at once. So it's not like do one, do two, do three. It's like, oh, here's like five missions you can do to continue the story, or here's a bunch of side missions. So I'm just like, we'll go that way and see what happens. And that's pretty much the extent of anything. And I guess the one other cool thing and I think other games do this, is that if you're playing with somebody who's a much higher level than you are, it will scale up your power to match them. The downside, it doesn't scale up your health. So like you will do damage. Like I played with a friend who was like level 24, 25, and I was like level 2 or 3. So my guns were doing damage comparable to somebody who was level 25, but my health was still level 2 or 3. So like it's kind of good that you're not completely useless, but it also meant like I pretty much got gunned down whenever I stuck my head out.
Ooh.
So yeah, I just thought of myself as bait.
Well, that does not sound quite so exciting.
I mean, it worked out for me though, because I started at level 2. Actually, yeah. And by the time I was finished playing with them for about an hour and a half, I was level 14. So you do level up relatively fast that way. The problem with that again is the way the game is structured. It's very hard to understand what you're supposed to do in what order, and it just assumed that I was that higher level. So like a lot of the missions are later game missions that I now have access to, and I'm like, there are stuff that you need to do. There are some things you have to do in order to unlock certain things. Like one of the first missions you do is to unlock the second ability on your character, and because I skipped that, I even though I had all these points, I actually couldn't unlock the second ability for my character. So it's like I get it, but it's like okay, you don't necessarily need to do. You shouldn't have it be 1, 2, 3, 4 to unlock these abilities.
Okay. Yeah, that makes some sense.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that is the one new game of the week.
Oh, I played a new game.
Oh, did you?
It sucks, but I played it. So you know how they have the quests now if you have Xbox Game Pass.
Yes.
One of the games for this month's quest is called After Charge.
Oh, yeah. Is that's what it's called, right? Or it's like, yes, it's the multiplayer game.
It's a multiplayer game.
I did play this as well. I had already forgotten about it.
Okay. Before you folks get into that, what exactly is Xbox Live Game Pass Quest?
So basically they'll have if you have Microsoft Rewards, you will get rewards points for doing certain things.
Oh, okay,
A
yeah.
lot of these quests are they're as simple as get 2 achievements in X game. So earlier this week I was playing Shadow of the Tomb Raider, so I could get 2 achievements and then get 200 Microsoft Rewards points. If you do all of the quests in a month, you get a bonus 500 points. So I've had finished a bunch of the quests, not really trying to, so I'm really close. So I was like, I'm gonna try to finish the rest of these quests and get those 500 bonus points.
They're all pretty easy.
I started one of the quests was 2 achievements in After Charge, which is some multiplayer game that I had never heard of, and so I downloaded it. It's on Game Pass, so it's free. Yay, I'm really glad that it's free.
Yeah.
And yes, it sucks. I don't know how you felt about it, Chris, but it
No,
was
I didn't
pretty
like it
bland and
either.
boring. There are two sides. So you're either I believe it's a work onic or an enforcer. The work onics don't have any weapons, and it's 2 teams of 3. So you have your 3 work onics, your 3 enforcers. So the work onics don't have any weapons, and their objective is to run out and punch these little energy things
Yeah, they're like
until they
generators. There's
explode.
like seven or eight of
And if
them
your
on
three
there.
work onics punch and explode all of them, then they win.
Yes.
While they're doing that, the enforcers have guns and are trying to shoot them and stop them from doing that.
Also, the work onyx are they're invisible.
It sounds like the enforcers have a really big advantage. The only thing is the work onyx are invisible, unless they're actually punching one of the things or if they're really close to one of the enforcers. So there's kind of like this cat and mouse stealth game where you're trying to get close to the things to punch them and destroy them before you get shot by the enforcers.
Now, I mean, if you're an enforcer, why wouldn't you just camp out there waiting for them to...
I don't know how you felt about it, Chris, but like,
so can you guys can hear me?
Was kind of my feeling. Like,
I can hear you.
There's only one mode right now. I don't even think competitive multiplayer is working. I think you have to play with bots.
Tony, can you hear me?
I don't think you can hear either one of us.
Oh wait, I can hear you now.
Okay.
Just disappeared
on me for a second.
There we go. All right. Yeah. So I agree with pretty much all of that, Tony. So Earl, you were asking why, if you're an enforcer, you wouldn't just like camp out.
Yeah.
Because at the end you basically do.
Yeah. You can, when there's one left, you sit there and defend it.
But there's like seven or eight of these, generators on the map. So like, I mean, I guess you could camp out at one and just hold up there. Let them destroy everything, or you can like go out and try and get them.
The only thing is the work onyx can power each other up.
Yes.
And one of their abilities is like a circle that you can't get. They can only enter and they can't get damaged inside of. So if you like camped out at the last one, they would just do that right on top of it and just punch it to death.
Yeah. Yeah, and it takes like what, like seven or eight hits to destroy it.
Yeah.
I did not like playing as the robot people.
Yeah, it's not fun.
and I didn't like playing as the defenders either.
I just kind of ran around like shooting randomly. Okay, they got to be near things. I'm just going to shoot at the thing. Nope, nobody's there. All right, moving to the next thing. I'm going to shoot at that one.
So like it does that depending upon which enforcer you pick, like it will kind of like give you an indicator that there is one of them around.
Yeah, but no sense of which direction it would be.
Yeah, just lights up.
Like it's there's somebody somewhere near you. Great.
And then I guess if you're really close, it'll like hit a beam. Yeah. It'll charge them up. But then your ammo runs out really quick, and the only way you can refill it is by running back to a generator. So if you're not working as a team, and I think you mentioned, Tony, that like it doesn't seem like there's actual matchmaking going on.
Nope, not yet.
So it seems like you might just be playing with bots, and the bots are really stupid.
They're really bad.
So you're not like getting the bonuses that you would get from maybe if there were real people, maybe it would be better. But I think like the core concept of like these invisible hulky smash robots versus like people with guns isn't very good.
Yeah, it might be fine as a mode in part of a real game.
But yeah,
not as the entirety of a game.
Yeah. So I quickly got my two achievements, and I bailed out of that game.
Yes, that is exactly what I did, too. I'm like, okay, got my achievements, exit out, oh, and delete. Okay, done.
Yeah, so not a recommend from us here. You can get your, it's like 200 points or something like that for doing it.
I have one game left, and it's the one you were playing.
Oh, Hellblade?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you'll end up liking that one.
Yeah, I liked Enslaved, so okay. I'm kind of like, okay, maybe this will do it for me. So I kind of saved that one for the end because I might play it for a while.
It's a little bit longer, and
yeah.
I mean, it looks like a AAA game. The combat is a little more deliberate, and it's definitely segmented in like puzzle stuff and combat stuff, but. I think you may end up enjoying that one. Definitely more than After Charge.
Yes. That would not be a hard bar to decline.
No. You play anything else?
I played more Stellaris, which is still fun. But
that's
good. I've talked so much on this show about Stellaris other days. So it's fine.
Earl, you play anything old?
No, I mean, I'm still picking away at Pokemon Let's Go, but that's nothing.
I feel like I need to go back and play that more.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. I am curious. I am curious to see what become, because there's a lot of stuff in Pokemon Let's Go that I enjoy that I'm really disappointed isn't in Sword and Shield, but that's a discussion for later on down the road.
Right. Because you never know, like, what they'll do in Sword and Shield to, like, we don't need that because.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hope Sword and Shield isn't just like a return to classic Pokemon formula, but we'll see more probably around E3, right? They'll give us more details
Yeah.
there. So, I played and finished Parasite Eve 2.
Was this the game you were complaining about on Twitter?
Oh yeah, God. So yeah, it's set up like a that era, PlayStation era, JRPGs were set up where there was no save anywhere. You had to use like certain save points, and sometimes they are spaced out really long. And if you die, like you lose all that progress. Like there's no checkpoints, there's no like soft saves or anything. It's just like start back at your last save.
It's the thing that always turns me off about JRPGs and
Yeah.
maybe Japanese games in general. Like, I want to save where I am every time. Like, I have a life and stuff happens, and
Yeah.
sometimes I need to stop.
And sometimes like that can cause you an issue. Like you can save past like a safe area
Yeah.
and screw yourself, but at least that's on you. That's not like
Right.
a design decision. That's a like you messed up.
Yeah.
This is very much like a hey, we want you to play this game a certain way, and this sequence of this game is going to be an hour or 90 minutes, and you're not going to be able to save anywhere in between there. Good luck. Hope you don't die.
Yeah.
So that happened, and then the final boss, and this is something that JRPGs kind of still do now, but they were really bad in like the Square games in the like late 90s, early 2000s, where you would fight like a sub boss and then immediately go in and have to fight the final boss, which has like multiple forms. And if you die, you have to do it all over again, including probably watching the cutscenes.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember some games like that.
So at least Parasite Eve 2 allows you to skip the cutscenes, but you still have to like you have to go back to where you last saved, and then you have to go up and trigger the cutscene. And there's actually because it was all on CDs, so they had like smaller files that they would run off of. So it'd be like there was three cutscenes back to back that you have to skip, and then it boots you back out. And then you have to go and trigger the sub boss. And then hopefully if you beat that, then you can fight against the final boss. And if she beats you, just like redo it again. It actually ended up taking me about 12 tries and
Oh, God, no.
3 hours to do it. I was like, and the ending wasn't even worth it. It's like one of those like where you like you finish like a game, it's like, all right, I got like at least like there's gonna be like a cool cutscene or something. This didn't even have that.
No,
Really
no.
disappointing. It's like, well, I think maybe my younger self made the better decision of stopping playing that game like an hour and a half in back in 2000. And I plowed through it this time, but I could cross it off my list. It's gone now. I will never play that game again.
You're saved.
Yeah, so I guess that's it for what we've been playing. There's a bunch of news though.
So much news.
Was there? I didn't even notice.
Yeah, I mean, that's just like a little Google announcement that
What's Google?
You should Google that.
they make a suboptimal browser. I mean, it's no Netscape Navigator, but Google announced Stadia, which I learned is the plural of stadium.
Yes.
Sure, it is.
I always thought it was stadiums.
But I did too.
You don't speak that. Latin, though.
You're right. Before. Yeah. So Stadia is there not console?
It's there.
They're not.
That, well? I mean, okay, we might as well start there because, like, as far as I know, the form isn't a form. It's like there's nothing that you need from Google.
Right. It's a platform. Like you need a tab, I guess, in your browser.
Yes, but it's
not. You're literally just playing in your browser.
Yes. But you don't need a controller. You don't need you need Chrome. But that's it.
Yeah. And you can play, I guess, AAA games straight through there, streaming.
A minimum of latency, right? I saw that. I'm like, ugh.
I saw that game from an article. And I'm like, that was interesting framing,
right?
Which I mean, I think the technology is exciting. If it works, you know, it's really cool technology. The problem is, and the problem that's been with any of these things, is that one, this country does not have that infrastructure. To like, most people can't even stream 4K content on Netflix.
Right, and that's what you need. That's the connection you need to be able to do this. It's the same as Netflix's minimum requirements for 4K.
Yeah, and even under ideal circumstances, like, you know, even if your internet's silky smooth, you know, it has its ups and downs. That server goes down, your internet's down. There's 20,000 people paying at the same time if you have a cable internet. There's a lot. The big problem is it's like one of those things where Google can't control all the real-world factors here. So it's going to be one of those things that would be great if it worked, but there's no guarantee it's always going to work. And with states here with providers who have data cap, like, I think somebody said that I think they recommend a minimum of 25 gigabyte.
all the time?
And it's like, yeah, these games are just going to eat through people's data plans if they have that.
Yeah.
And in the era of net neutrality, it's just going to be another big concern. Are like internet providers going to start being like, if you want like premium gaming, you have to pay us an additional $50 a month?
Right. Probably.
They probably will.
That's what's troublesome here. But you know, I do like the idea behind it.
I like the idea. I don't think our infrastructure is there yet.
Yeah, I will also say I like the idea, but I don't like the idea how they envision the idea. I guess because I just don't watch streaming stuff that much. The whole idea that like I'm going to be watching somebody streaming, like, oh man, this game looks really fun, let me play it. Like, my head is like, I'm either going to play the game or not. I'm not going to watch somebody play it. But I feel like that's just an old man and me talking.
Well, but think about it the other way, though. The streamers, like, people are watching me play. And they're like, oh, this is an awesome game. And now they're suddenly not watching me because they're playing the game instead of watching me. Great. Now my income has decided to just walk away because it can at any time now.
So I wonder if there will be some sort of kickback on that. Like if you are watching a stream of, I don't know any popular streamers, but.
Well, I mean, I guess to kind of tie it into other news, you could say somebody like Ninja. Where like, Ninja, like it came out recently that Ninja was paid $1 million by EA to play Apex Legends.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, okay, then like, at that point, it becomes this really disgusting gray area because at that point, it's an advertisement. And I mean, I'm not going to like ads are evil, but like, that's not disclosed ahead of time. And it does kind of feel yucky.
Yeah. Right. Like if EA or Ubisoft or Activision is paying somebody to play their game on stream, like that should be disclosed.
And yeah, and you know, one of the and I mean, I'm jumping all over the place, but I'm also thinking because you know the big audience for streaming right now are people like under 18. Those are the people who watch streams and YouTubers and stuff like that. And the whole like one of the big selling points of this is like you're seeing somebody streaming something, you want to play it, you can start the game within 5 seconds. But they also need to talk about that safeguard because if you're a parent, you don't want your kid buying $60 games every. You know, 10 minutes because somebody they like is paying it.
Right. It's like, I could definitely see where there's going to be some growing pains with that, where Google is going to be refunding lots of money because some kid was just bouncing from streamer to streamer on YouTube and clicking, yes, I want to play that. And then, yes, I will pay $60.
Oh, that would be the day.
That's something they didn't reveal, though, right? Is how,
like, how the monetization part of it's going to work, like, how you pay for stuff.
Yeah, they didn't reveal that. They didn't reveal if it's. I mean, even on the back end, I mean, that's not necessary for us. But like, I've heard people say that they compared it to a Spotify model, as opposed to a Netflix model, and most people say that's the same thing. But it isn't if you are a publisher or developer. Because Spotify pays you based off engagement. Netflix just pays you for content.
Right. Netflix is giving you, like, here's $100 million for friends. Where Spotify's like, you can put your shit up on our service, and when you hit 100 million downloads, we'll give you a dollar.
Yes, exactly.
I pay for Spotify, but I do understand how that it is a hurt the industry in a lot of ways.
Yeah. Very different business models, but you still have access to that stuff. Because, like again, kind of going back to the Game Informer thing, it's like, if I'm paying you $60 to stream a game that I don't necessarily own, and there is some form of input lag or latency, I'm like, why not just pay that money to own the game,
right?
Yeah, why wouldn't I just pay Microsoft to play it on my Xbox locally?
Yeah, because it's again, it's like one of those things where it's like it's a great idea, but I from a practical standpoint, from somebody like me, it's like how often do you see a game like, oh man, I want to play this right now?
Yeah, very rare.
Never. I have so many games. I'm like, I want to play that. I hope I get to it one day.
Yeah, and I also assume, like, I mean, we're a different beast altogether. We're the type of, you know, we're going to watch E3. Like, most of us probably have the games we're interested in for the rest of the year panned out already. It's not like, it's not going to be like an impulse, like, District's really cool. I want to get it now. It's like, I probably have an idea of what it is.
Right. Like, there's, like, the days of us, like, going into a game store and browsing, like, the covers and being like, that looks cool, and like buying it there on the spot, they're gone. Like, there's you've seen videos, you know what these games are by the time they come out. So
yeah, like the audience, I could see it being, again, young kids, but I guess also like if you're a kind of underground indie title that, you know, like it becomes big. That's, but like Assassin's Creed, at this point, you either know you like Assassin's Creed or you don't. I don't think watching a stream is going to really convince you differently of that.
No, not at all. I'm not watching somebody play Assassin's Creed and then they're like, oh, yep, I watched this for 2 hours. This seems like the game for me.
Yeah. And again, I kind of get, again, kind of thinking of the technology, I get the idea of like, oh man, you saw the streamer, they were playing this game, and you want to start, you want to continue where they continue, you saw them playing that. I'm like, that's a great idea in theory, but like a lot of games, like there's so much that you have to earn, it's going to be really odd to just kind of throw you into the water.
Yeah.
Right.
But I will say my biggest pet peeve with this whole presentation, and this is my pet peeve with any presentation of this nature, is at the end of an hour, As far as I can tell, there's two games that I know about. There's Doom and Assassin's Creed Odyssey.
Yeah. And I guess like ultimately that this was like it was at GDC, right? So it's more of a
I get that, but at the same time, you are still a platform, and it's the old adage that software sells, and it seems, especially for something that's supposed to be out this year, it seems odd that you're just rolling out tech demos, which didn't look that great, but again, just showing off the technology, I guess.
right.
And it's like, yeah, you should have some. Like they announced that they had like a, they formed the game studio. Fine. Like, give us a hint of like what you're working on. Like, we have five projects in the works, because you are, competing with Nintendo, Sony, and Microsoft. You are competing with Steam and Epic Game Store, and all these other platforms that are going to continue to have games. You need something to have hooked people
Right, so like
other than.
what's the thing right now that like gets me to try your service because I can play Assassin's Creed already. Like it's already out. And Doom is coming, and anybody that was going to get Doom is probably already sure of where they were going to play that, and it probably wasn't in their browser. So like what's the Mario or the Uncharted or the Gears or like, what's the thing that brings you into Google's not machine? And there's, I guess we'll find out, but I don't know.
We'll find out. I mean, like I said, I'm excited for technology. I'm always in to see how a new platform does. I just think that by the end of that hour, there's a lot of questions, and it's not the ones you want. Like, I understand not knowing pricing and stuff. That's not always something up front, but we don't really know the structure. Like, we know it's streaming, but like, what do you actually need to engage with this service? Because you don't need the controller, but are you going to need anything else?
Right. Is it going to be a subscription model? Like, do I need to pay X amount of dollars to you to access this service? Or am I actually buying, I guess, the right to play these games streaming? Like,
Right.
what's my input on? Like, and hey, you don't have to reveal pricing. I would hope that they're not $60 games on this streaming service, but
And even stuff they say you don't need a high-end PC or anything like that. That's fine, but like, what do you need? Like, am I going to need like 100 megabytes internet? Is each game going to like how like is there a compression in mind, or is it going to be that like you're streaming a 60 gig game at all times?
So they ran this test back in October with Assassin's Creed, and evidently that was being run at 25 down, what you needed to do that. And from the reviews that I read from the people that were writing about it, latency seemed good enough to
Well,
play it.
from what I understand, and I have not played it, so I also hear that Assassin's Creed Odyssey wasn't the best game to test that with. Because I hear
Sure.
even in the console version, it's kind of not super the bet the super the most responsive game out there.
Okay.
Like, what I want to see are like your racing games, your fighting games,
Right.
your Twitch shooters.
Right. The games where that latency might matter.
And maybe that's just something that they're not gonna push out there right now. Like maybe they'll stick to kind of like these more open world games like that don't require Twitch gameplay but can be played with like a minimum of latency as opposed to like something like Street Fighter where you don't want any latency, like, because you want it to respond as you button press.
Yeah. So we shall see.
Yeah, I'm interested to try it, provided that the pricing comes out right. Like, I don't know if I will buy that controller, but if I can use, like...
Well, it seems like you can use pretty much any controller, I think. Yeah. I mean, most of them can hook up to your PC.
Right. Like, I have an Xbox One controller hooked up to my PC. So if I can use that to try out something that is reasonably priced, I would probably do it for at least that. Like, I don't think it would be, certainly is not going to be the way I will move to play games. But I'm interested to at least try it.
Yes. And, I mean, I don't think we had this in the news, but just kind of throwing it out there as well. I think there's rumors that Walmart is also interested now in doing their own streaming video game service.
I saw that. That can't possibly work out, can it?
No.
I mean,
is Voodoo still around?
Yeah, Voodoo. I was about to say, they do have that technology. I guess they have a movie streaming service. Yeah. Though I've also used Voodoo, so I mean, yeah, I would hedge my bets on Google more.
For sure. I mean, they're an actual tech company, so
yeah,
right,
yeah. Yeah, I'm just saying that my Voodoo experience is not, like, for some reason it can never really maintain HD, and I'm like, I do Netflix, no problem. I do WWE Network, all this stuff, but Voodoo's like, we'll just drop you down as SD, you'll be fine with that, right? I'm like, no, but whatever.
I don't think I've ever actually used Voodoo service to watch anything. I have movies on Voodoo that I got, like, as you know, get like a code or something in a Blu-ray that you buy or whatever.
Yeah.
And that was where it ended up. But I've linked, I think it was, maybe it's with the Movies Anywhere. I think Voodoo links in. So I don't think I've ever actually watched anything off of Voodoo.
I use their, because they have like the free to stream movies. So I sometimes watch that. But yeah, if I'm going to stream, I usually use YouTube.
Okay. I generally use my Xbox, like Xbox Video.
Yeah, I should do that, but I'm like, I just got accustomed to YouTube because it had like my Google Play account was kind of migrated there, and then everything else just kind of tied in with Movies Anywhere.
Yeah.
The bright side, that's the one good thing I will say about movies, even though I don't need to give Disney more power, is I think that eventually all those streaming services is kind of uniformed into one catch-all.
Right. Yes. Like, I can buy my stuff on Xbox, but like then if I need to access it elsewhere or on a different service somewhere, like I can, for the most part. Like,
yeah, I think Universal and Paramount are still not there, but it happens.
It'll happen one day. They don't have a choice.
Yes, they will eventually succumb to Disney.
Everything will be Disney.
Well, they now own a 60% stake in Hulu.
Yeah.
Let's see what else we got on your news list here. The Konami collections were announced. I'm actually excited for at least the Castlevania one.
Yeah, it looks like it's a decent collection of Castlevania games too. As far as I know, right now they've already announced what I think the Nintendo ones, the Genesis ones, and the Super Nintendo one.
Have they announced more? Because when they announced it the other day, there were four announced. So it was Castlevania 1, Castlevania 3, Castlevania 2, Belmont's Revenge, which is the Game Boy, second Game Boy one, and Super Castlevania, or Castlevania 4, Super Castlevania 4.
Okay, then maybe I was just being optimistic. But it's a good start.
Yeah.
It looks like it's going to have 8 games in total, so I guess there's 4 more to go.
Yeah, there's 4 more, and that's not coming out till early summer.
So. Yeah, the one that's coming out next month is the Arcade Classic, which has what, Haunted Castle, Typhoon, Nemesis, Scrabble, Thundercross, Yeah, so it's a bunch of their arcade titles, which are not Contra, so it's
Right.
whatever for $20. But I mean, it's I've said this before to people. Everybody's always complaining about the Switch not having a virtual console.
This is why.
Yeah, everybody's figured out how to sell their own games in these bundle packages. Like Konami's doing this, Capcom did the Street Fighter collection. They've done the Disney Afternoon
Namco did
collection.
one, right?
Namco did one, and it works out for them because then you also get to kind of put out games that, let's be honest, people probably weren't going to be interested in on their own. But you throw it in like the big names, and then you throw in like two or three, Pac-Mans or Sonic games, and you're good to go.
Yeah, like I probably don't want to play seven of those arcade games that Konami's releasing.
But you'll buy one.
But yeah, well, I've never played Haunted Castle, so like I kind of want to play that because it's the arcade version of Castlevania. So it's like I could do that, and then like you get seven other games that maybe I play a little bit of, but. I'm okay with these collections of classic games.
Yeah, I think it works out. It's great for the company because then you also kind of get to brand it because it's like, these are Konami arcade classics. You know about Sega Ages. You know about Namco Museum. So they get their name out. They can revive these brands. I mean, granted, you actually end up losing more money because I think if these were like, for example, if these were on like the Wii Virtual Console, each of these would have been $5 and there's eight games. That would have been $40 instead of the 20-day serving for the package. But yeah, whatever.
Right, but how many people were actually buying all,
Yeah. Yeah, so that's the business. And then the Contra one, I think, is a fall title. So there's that. Just as a quick aside, I've actually never played this game, but everybody seems to be excited. I guess as we're recording this, Vampire: The Masquerade Bloodlines 2 was just announced.
Nice.
Yay. Oh wait, it's a Paradox game, isn't
It is a Paradox game. It's a it is it
it?
it will be a it will be a narrative based RPG, but
Do I
this
have to
is
be excited about it because it's a Paradox game, or can I pretend
I
like
mean
it's not really a Paradox game?
you are Paradox PR, but no, I honestly don't know if this will be a game up your alley.
it doesn't really sound like it, but I do like RPGs. Maybe I should try it.
The original was like a was really buggy, but it was also really had an awesome story. I don't even know if it's playable anywhere now,
I
but
assume so. People are saying they want to play it now.
Well, we
Or
know that
maybe they
all of Paradox's games are bug free automatically because they've been
did.
blessed by the Pope. So,
Nice. So that when this one comes out, it'll be fine.
yeah, it'll be fine.
Yes.
Everyone
So
should play it. Yeah, do
it's
that.
due. It's due 2020, and I guess it's going to be 15 years in between sequels. So that's literally just break in as we're talking now.
Nice. I mean, I had heard rumors that like
It was going to be announced, but yeah, it seems like that has come up. So you heard it here first. This will be like Saturday, so you probably already heard.
Yeah, you heard it like 12 times, but
if you
you heard
haven't,
it here again.
and
Well,
all you do is listen to this show.
right? If you come here to get your gaming news, well, I'm sorry. Why? Why?
Probably not a good decision.
So yes, in other game announcement news, I mean, it was GDC, C2E2's this weekend, and then PAX is next weekend. So I assume we're gonna have a bunch of news. Castle Crashers Remastered was announced for the Switch and the PlayStation 4. I forget, did this have a release date with it?
Wait, it's not on PS4 already?
No, I was surprised by that too, because the original was on PS4, right? I mean, PS3.
Yes. Oh, it's one of my son's favorite games. He plays it all the time on Xbox.
It's a great game. Like I
Yeah.
said, I honestly got back into it last week, and I was wondering why it was never on a Nintendo system. Then they teased it at Gertie the next day, and then like a few days later, it was announced. So I'm gonna take credit for it being ported to the Switch. You're all welcome.
We were talking about it last week, so.
But
Did you see them talking about why they never made a sequel?
yes, I was gonna bring that up. I
Kevin, go
kind
ahead.
of respect that, but I also think it's kind of flimsy for a lot of people. Essentially, they don't want to make a sequel because they don't want it to just be more of the same. And they felt like if they did make sequels, they'd have to make sequels in order, so they'd have to make a sequel to Alien Hominid first.
No, I mean, look, you don't have to make a sequel to every game.
That part I thought was dumb, but I kind of respect them for being like, we don't. It's a double-edged sword, though, because you want to respect them for like, we don't want to just make more of the same. But you also can't say that when you're announcing a port of a port.
Yes.
So
Yeah.
it's one of those things where it's like, yeah, I could see what you're saying, but you're really saying that you're porting a 10-year-old game for the second time.
Right.
So, to answer your earlier question, there's not a firm release date for it yet. It will be summer of this year.
Okay. But yeah, I mean, I think I might pick it up for the Switch as well. It's a game that I mean, it's great to play with friends, but it also seems like a really fun game if you just want to kill some time on the bus or whatever.
Right. I mean, it's a great game. The Switch seems like a really good environment for it to be in.
Yeah, I think what is it? I mean, the Switch that or again, one of the reasons I brought it up when I was playing is like it's a 4-player couch co-op game that just seems ideal for any Nintendo home console, and that's what they're going to do. And I think it also has HD Rumble, and then for the PlayStation 4, you get the exclusive function of your controller lights up different colors for each character, and I'm like.
Because nothing about that light bar has been useful at all. So might as well make at least look cool.
I saw that. I'm like, okay. I mean, that's something.
The Switch gets like, they're going to utilize their HD Rumble feature. The PlayStation gets colored lights.
Yeah,
Yes.
colored lights.
Nice.
Okay, just kind of skipping ahead.
Yeah.
I guess in other big news, we talked about this before, but it's official. Cuphead is coming to Nintendo Switch next month.
Again,
And
like,
not,
yes, of course.
but not at launch, but Xbox Live and achievements are coming with this game. Now, it doesn't seem like that was an announcement of it being system-wide, but it does seem like the gateway.
Right. Now I can finally get my achievements in Mario Odyssey. Really want them.
Well, I feel like Nintendo won't do it. Well, it's
Push,
always.
give me achievements in Odyssey.
Was gonna say it's always weird because like Odyssey has achievements. It just does not have an achievement system like
Right.
that.
Nintendo can just adapt Microsoft's system, which is superior to trophies in every way, by the way, and use that across their all their games.
I will say yes and no to one point. I do like the idea of kind of the platinum trophy. Like, you've done all this work, so here's like the ultimate sign that you did. Where Xbox doesn't have anything comparable to that. If you get all the achievements in a game.
Yeah, this is true. I do like the idea of the platinum trophy, but I like the points idea more than the like the levels and the percentage.
I don't understand the leveling.
I honestly
Like,
never got the
it makes no sense to me.
that I can deal without, but I do like the idea of the platinum trophy just
Right, like,
because it's yeah. But like their levels and I don't get that. Like I don't get it. Like the numbers are easy to understand. They go up.
right.
You can pay them directly. I don't need to like I'm level 8 with 1 star and my friends like that doesn't make any sense to me.
No, not at all.
Like how far do I climb in percentages by getting a gold trophy instead of a silver or a bronze? Like what? I don't know.
And what is it a percent of? Is it like a percent of the total numbers you can get, or is it? I don't know.
Yeah, at least with the achievement points, there is, this is how many that like there's a total number of achievement points that can be earned.
Right.
And each one is a fraction of that. or easy to understand.
There are times that I will, you know, decide what I'm going to play in accordance with, all right, I want achievement points. I want to get this many. I know I can get a bunch by playing this particular game. I never do that with a Sony game, ever. No, I would never think of it.
I will say my one pet peeve with achievements is not necessarily with achievements, but I date people who do achievements that aren't in intervals of five.
Yes. Oh, I hate that. I'm stuck right now with a weird number because I played that Ashen game, mm-hmm. and they have 17-point achievements. Like, so it frustrates me so much.
Yeah, like, mine right now ends in a 4. I don't even know what game that was from, but I'm just like, this is super annoying because it's either going to be a 4 or a 9 for the most part, and I'm just like, why? Just do 5, 10, 15. Like, a very easy number to understand. I don't need, like, a 97-point achievement and a 3-point achievement because you think you're being cute and you're going to get them together. It's like, no. Just give me intervals of 5. That's all I ask.
I had a weird, off number for, like, 8 years. And then then I got a what's that stupid space game?
There's lots of stupid
No Man's space. Sky. Has a bunch of like 8 achievements, like ones that end at 8. I got an achievement there. I don't know if I'll ever play No Man's Sky again because I'm like on the 5 system again, and I don't want to leave.
Well, that's knowing that, and I have No Man's Sky. Maybe I should play that to bust out of my 7 achievement. Get me back on the 5s. There are some more games that I guess are kind of being re-released or coming out, though.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we should talk about the big one from the actual Nindies Direct, which was the announcement of, let me see if I can get this correct, Cadence of Hyrule, Necromancer, Cryptid and Necrodancer, featuring the Legend of Zelda, I think is the full title.
That is a terrible title.
That is a mouthful.
Wow. This is a game, or this is like an expansion, or what is this?
It was kind of vague, but it does seem to be a it's its own thing. It's not an expansion. It's its own standalone. So it seems to be a sequel, or a Legend of Zelda title spinoff.
Like a standalone spinoff.
Of Crypt of the Necrodancer and Zelda?
Yes.
I'm so confused.
Yes.
Can I play it on the Stadia? Wait, no, there's no Stadia to play it on. I guess I'd be playing it on
I honestly was surprised that nobody was asking if this is exclusive, because people always do that with these types of announcements. Because, like, you know, Crypt of the Necrodancer is not a Switch exclusive title, but yeah, it actually looks really interesting. And I was like, this, you know, this looks like my jam, until I realized, like, it's a rhythm roguelike game, and that seems like a very odd combination.
Wait, a rhythm roguelike game. All right, I'm out.
You're already out. Yeah, rhythm. Rhythm is where Tony cut out.
Rhythm and then roguelike. It's like, let's make this as painful for Tony as possible. This is like a lobotomy on top of, like, a, I don't know.
I like the rhythm side. I'm not big on the roguelike.
Yeah, I actually like the idea of, like, a rhythm-based kind of action game where you move, like, you move with the beat, and you attack with the beat, which is kind of nifty. It's the fact that, like, stuff is randomly generated, so it's one of those. But I assume that, you know, being that this is the Legend of Zelda, that Nintendo's going to make sure that this is the best possible version of that game. And to me, that is the most fascinating story, because, like, we've seen Nintendo and out their franchises before, but usually it's like major third-party publishers, Ubisoft, EA, Konami. But, like, this is a independent developer who, if I'm not mistaken, Crypt of the Necrodancer is their first title.
Oh, is it?
Ooh. Oh, it's Crypt of the Necro Dancer. Now I finally get it. I thought you were saying Necromancer, and
No,
now
yeah, it's like a pun on that. It's Necro Dance. So yeah, like I can't imagine being told like because an interview came out on IGN where I guess they approached Nintendo with the idea of like doing some DLC for the game, and they wanted to see if they could include the Legend of Zelda characters. And Nintendo's like, "Why don't you just make a full game around it?" And like, I can't imagine the bricks I would shit if Nintendo was like, "Oh yeah, go play with the Zelda franchise." Like, even though Mario's the A franchise, I feel like they whore out Mario to anybody who asks.
Yeah,
Where
they
they've
seem
been,
way more protective of Zelda.
yeah,
That's weird.
I think because Zelda like Zelda's kind of fake. Like, again, Mario is like their franchise, but I feel like Zelda's like this prestige franchise. It's like, you know, like when you go to your grandparents' house and they have like the couches covered in plastic. That
Zelda's
is,
covered in plastic. Is that what you're saying?
yeah, Zelda is the franchise that they take very good care of. They want to make sure it's there. Where Mario's like, Mario can persevere. I mean,
Zelda with
Mario,
good China. I got
yeah, Mario's,
it.
you know, he's golfing, he's going tennis, he's going karting. He throws a week, a monthly party, all
Got a
this
few
stuff.
chips in him. Put him out there. He's fine.
Yeah.
And Zelda is the ugly couch that your friend has. Is that
Yes, it's the couch that it's like you don't drink juice on it. You don't eat anything that might spill. You have crumbs. It's more of like a you show it. You don't sit on it type of couch. And then Metroid's like the thing you keep in the shed that you forget about.
saying?
And then you go back there and went, oh crap, I do own this. But yes, anyhow, I'm excited to see what comes of it. Partially because I do like the spirits of this game, which is really nice. And as much as I, you know, as much as I of Nintendo, I don't think they were going to make a Zelda in this style anytime soon. So it's nice to see somebody kind of continue that traditional 2D art style.
Yeah. I mean, I think it looks neat.
And it's the I mean it's the what second game I guess with Zelda playable? The other I'm thinking of Hyrule Warriors,
That's
but
the one I was thinking of. I don't know if you can play this or anything else, like Smash, but
there's the CDI games, nobody talks about those.
no, there's a reason for that. I don't want to talk about them at all.
And I mean, I guess to round up a week that had a new platform announced, Microsoft coming to a Nintendo system. I guess Sony and Quantic Dreams are no longer in bed together. Quantic Dreams announced that their three of PlayStation exclusive titles are coming to the Epic Game Store this year.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry, PC gamers.
Darn.
Yeah, I'm actually more like Heavy Rain, Beyond Two Souls, whatever. But I'm surprised that like a year from release, Sony is like, I think they are listed as the publisher on this, so there has to be some deal with Quantic Dream and Sony to get it on Epic Store and.
Were sales that bad?
Well, I mean, I thought Detroit Become Human was their best-selling game, so I don't know if it's. I honestly think it's probably Epic trying to make a big splash because, as far as I understand, even though this is an odd concept, because again, its support is that these games are exclusive to the Epic Game Store for a year.
Has there re like again some regard, I understand that side of like, you know, you want to lock in these exclusives, like it's like the, you know, another thing that is going to be Epic Store exclusive. Well, not on Steam. I don't know if it's just Epic Store exclusive. It's like the Outer Worlds or the new Obsidian game that looks like Fallout. That's going to be on the Epic Game Store as well. Like that strikes me as more of like that's a big get. Like Heavy Rain is what, 10 years old at this point? Like
Yeah,
really getting a 10-year-old game, a big deal.
and it doesn't have like a Reputation was like a must-play game. I hate picking on Sony fans. I feel like Quantum Dreams games get propped up because they're Sony exclusives, and people want to talk about like these huge, immersive, story-driven games. I've always hated Heavy Rain, and if that's the future narrative games, just give me Pac-Man.
Right. There's the screenshot you always see of the guy being like, "I lost my two sons," and then the woman coming up behind him being like, "I want you to give me a baby." Right. I'm moved by that. It hit me to my very core of how stupid this is.
I mean, I enjoyed Heavy Rain. It does not hold up well
Yeah.
today.
I think the good things about Heavy Rain are not the narrative. There are some really cool things done with the control scheme, and
Yeah. The
like
writing shit.
the writing sucks, but some of the stuff they do, like when you're cutting off your thumb and that kind of stuff, like and the way they make you use the controls, it feels realistic. But the actual like stuff that people say is stupid, and the things that happen are really, really bad.
It is also a terrible representation of Philadelphia.
I forget who said it, but somebody once told me that crap, what is it, the guy's name who runs Quantum Dreams?
David Cage.
David Cage is like the Tommy Wiseau of video games.
That's fair.
Though I guess technically he'd be closest to Neil Brennan.
Okay. I could see that.
So it's somebody who thinks they're making high art, but they're not, but they keep on. They think they're making the most intelligent thing ever, but it's not
It,
working.
it, it's funny because like the Quantic Dream always gets their games hyped up, and I will say that I have enjoyed, I enjoyed Fahrenheit, I enjoyed Heavy Rain, I enjoyed Beyond Two Souls, despite their issues, but they are like really propped up. But like the game that I think that is like the best version of this is Until Dawn, which isn't their game. It's like, I think it's like the best version of like the cinematic
Yeah.
adventure game style.
Yes, and I think part of that, and because the other one, even though I don't think people think of it as, in the same way, is Azura's Wrath, because that is also kind of a cinematic game that just has more action. Is that they kind of embrace the tone? Horror can kind of be cheesy and over the top. But it also is one of those games that clearly defines, like, okay, this is going to change an outcome that makes sense. And I think, I'm a huge fan of Alpha Protocol. And one of the things I appreciated about that game that it does better than Mass Effect, in my opinion, is that when you finish a mission, it tells you exactly what you did that's going to have a ripple effect later on. Where other games in that nature would just be like, eh. Like something's gonna happen.
They'll make it like seem like it may have had a huge impact, and maybe it didn't have any impact at all.
Yes.
Like you have the impact on your own in your own mind. Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of what Telltale does a lot of the times, but
That's the big problem with Telltale is that, well, was the big problem with Telltale is that they give you the illusion of choice, but there is no choice in those games. Like
Nope.
everything ends up at the same end point.
Yeah. And that's the problem.
Well, good on, I guess, Quantic Dream for getting their stuff on Epic.
I'm good on Epic. I mean, they're being super aggressive. I guess you have to be when like there's a giant shark in the water like Steam to kind of get your foot in the door. I'm curious to see how much more they can do of this. But, that Fortnite money has to go somewhere, I guess.
And also, I guess what deep I don't know if Deep Silver is the one that announced it, but I think A4 Games, the Metro developers, I think it was announced that Metro Exodus sold better in that first week than any previous Metro game
Oh.
on Steam. So, like, for all the we're not going to use the Epic Store, craziness that the internet went through, they came out and bought that game on the Epic Store. So
Is it me, or does it feel like the people who say that kind of stuff are the people who don't really buy games?
That may be, 'cause I actually saw somebody complaining about the that new Obsidian game today, and their thing was, well, we're just gonna pirate it. Like, you weren't, if you were gonna pirate it, you weren't gonna buy it anyway. Like, that's, you were gonna pirate it no matter what.
I mean, I'm not going to sit here and condemn piracy. I've done it in the past and whatever it happened. But I'm always keen on the people who are like, they want to take a stand, but their stand is like, I still want to enjoy the product.
Right.
Thank you for increasing demand, okay?
Right. At worst, you're just advertisement for people that actually want to do it correctly.
Right.
Like, oh, well, I don't want to pay you for this game, but I'm still going to play it, and it's good.
Yeah, you pirate it. You're like, you say to one of your friends, this game was awesome. I really
Yeah.
liked it. This is why I stole it. And they're like, oh, and they go out and buy it. Nice job, pirate.
You've done it. They got your $60.
Yeah. Yeah, people are fascinating.
Yeah.
Before we came on, before we started recording, Nintendo dropped their Nintendo Labo VR Toy Kit video. I don't know if either one of you seen
I
that.
have not seen that yet.
No.
So,
We
I
were
mean.
focused on preparing for this podcast, Earl. I don't know about you, but I spend like 6 or 7 hours every time preparing for
In deep meditation, so I'm in complete blackout.
So yes, it's about a 7 minute trailer that shows off the various functions of the VR kit that's out next month. And it I don't I honestly don't get the VR. Like, it doesn't seem like it's if I mean I it seems like Nintendo's just kind of doing Nintendo stuff. I guess with more paper involved. So there's like this. So there's. I mean, a lot of it just seems like it's Nintendo trying to do stuff they did with the 3DS. So like, there's like a there's like the VR camera, which essentially kind of gives you like an Endless Ocean type game where you're underwater. You can take pictures of different creatures in the sea. Like you put this system and the thing so that's your camera ends and you press the trigger buttons to take a picture. You can zoom in with one controller and stuff like that. There is a mini game or a game where you play as a bird, and with that you create the bird VR helmet and then you use the two sides to flap your wings. And then you can go faster. So there's one that has a foot pedal that makes you go faster. Again, a lot of stuff that just seems like I don't necessarily get the VR segment of it. But it seems like really fun and decent. Like my mini, it's kind of
A
like,
mini game that you'd play one time and be like, oh, this is pretty cool, and never touch it again.
yeah, essentially, I assume that's what the other Abo kits were.
Yeah.
It seems like something like, hey, this is fun to build, and then you put it to the side.
Right.
Yeah,
And
that's one of the
have you take
reasons.
up space?
That's one of the reasons I'm not invested in it. I would like to try one of those kits, but it's like, yeah, I built cardboard. Now I have to store cardboard somewhere.
Yep.
I live in
And
another city. I don't have a place to put cardboard.
yeah.
storing cardboard is how hoarding starts.
Like I mean, I'm not. May I'm maybe to, like this seems like it would. If I was to get one, I'd probably get this one because it's much smaller kits than like the robot one, which is like this huge hooking thing that you put on your back and it's tied to your legs, or the race car one. But again, it's like the only thing I'm interested in, I think, is there's a lot of like the what the garage stuff they have where you can kind of mess around with it, and it's like very basic. Like STEM processes and stuff. And I do think that they've had a little success in that with getting that stuff in classrooms and libraries and stuff like that. That's great, but it seems like one of those endeavors that, Nintendo always swings for the fences. They don't always,
They're at least trying different.
different thing, yes.
It's not always good, but always.
I think I think what's better about this, I'm a huge fan of the Wii, so don't take this the wrong way when I say this. I think one of the things that has made the Switch better than the Wii in that regard is like
Earl hits the Wii.
this isn't their main focus, because I know a lot of people had issues with the Wii because Nintendo was doing stuff like that, but they thought that was their main focus for a lot of people. Where this is like, Avo is kind of like, it's his own thing. It's like Nintendo's doing Nintendo things, and then Avo's like this side story that some guy's working on in his spare time. It's like, yes, we'll release that for you. Because, yeah, like you'll get Avo, but you'll still get, like, Yoshi's out soon.
Or is it like Wii Fit and you're like, oh, wait, that's what you're giving me right now? That's all? I need more. I need an actual game. But there's plenty of actual games for the Switch as opposed to
And then you're getting stuff like, we're getting two Zelda games this year. You get a Mario Maker 2. So it's like there's these big titles that keep on coming and coming and coming. And again, the biggest thing is that they have third-party support. It's still nowhere near what Microsoft and Sony gets, but it's third-party support.
I mean, there's a bigger variety than just Nintendo games on there.
And I think the Nindies Direct showed that there's a lot of great looking Nindies games. I think Ratchet's cool, and there was another one that looks really awesome. It's that pinball action game.
I don't think I saw that one.
I think, as much as I enjoyed Cuphead and the Cadence of Hyrule, I do think it's one of those occasions where like the two announcements that bookend the show were so big that everything else was just kind of left in the dusk. But there were some really cool games in that 30 minutes that I feel bad because I'm like, they were really cool, but I want to talk about the Zelda game and Cuphead.
That's cool. What was this Sega online survey?
Oh, so yeah, Sega is doing a survey through their Twitter account, and it seems like Sega's really just like surveying people for general interest in their franchises and what people want to see with that. I'm honestly just talking about it because it's kind of refreshing to see a company just be pretty open and out there with it. It's like, they talk about it's not all their franchises because I had to keep on writing in Skies of Arcadia. Sega, you need to get on that. But like, yeah, it's like Sonic, Yakuza, what Total Warhammer, whatever this, Super Monkey.
Disentangle Total War Warhammer? Did you do that? Did that just happen?
Sure.
My presence.
Super Monkey Ball, Puyo Puyo. So yeah, it's something like a dozen of their franchises, and you pick the ones you've played, and you go through like what is your exposure to them, what do you own, what do you play on, what would you like to see, and this they're just putting it's not like a it's not a focus group, it's not like a handful of people. Anybody who can go to Twitter and take this survey, and I think it's really neat if they actually do that and use that feedback to do what fans want, because I do think there are projects that they have that can like they asked about Sonic, and my thing is like, I don't necessarily know if I want you to continue making Sonic games. Give the guy like a fight, give him a break.
He's been
But
running a long time. It's really fast. He's tired. God damn it.
I do think that something like Yakuza, I could see that. I think there's an audience for that on like the Xbox system. I know that there's not much in the way of Japan, but I think it can have a franchise that does well on one system in the West and one system on in Japan. I think Puyo Puyo, I think they need to do more of that, because I do think it's different enough from Tetris and many of the match three games that you see on mobile games to stand on its own. But yeah, I don't know if it's still up, but if it is, I recommend checking it out, throwing it in. It'll take like 10 minutes. I know like we're doing the advertising meant for them, but ultimately, if it helps these games kind of find a broader audience, or if it helps them be like, oh, there's an interest in bringing back X, Y, and Z, why not?
And I am with you on Skies of Arcadia, so.
Yeah, I'm still disappointed we've never gotten Skies of Arcadia Legends HD. Like, I know they didn't sell that well, but I figured it was going to be one of those games that came down when Sega was doing like the Dreamcast HD games on the Xbox 360, and it never happened. It never happened.
Well, I think that is it for news for this week. Jeff, well, I assume Jeff will be back next week with Sekiro. I don't know how to pronounce it, and I will never play that game, so.
I have Far Cry New Dawn. Did anybody else get Far Cry New Dawn for $20 this week?
I didn't, but I saw it on the Xbox. Click on the Xbox.
It's $20 in Xbox Live. I got it at Best Buy, and I still have my Gamers Club unlocked, so I got it for $16.
Nice.
And then I had a $10 gift card and like $10 in credit, so it was free.
Damn.
So
Oh,
I paid
nice.
$0 for it.
Well, yeah, let's know if it's worth $0 next week.
I'm sure it'll be worth
Yeah.
$0. I'm pretty.
Well, you
But
just said that. You said that, but you talked about a game that you didn't pay for this podcast. You didn't like that, so.
yeah.
Yes, but this one he actually had to fork over some sort of payment
Right.
for, so
I had to walk down to my office and pick it up. It was very arduous. I was tired.
that's harsh.
It was tough.
Also vampire or vampire, I don't know exactly how they want it to be pronounced, but that is $15 on the Xbox store, but it is coming to Game Pass, so I would
Oh,
hold off on buying that.
don't buy it.
Yeah, I'm going to play it on Game Pass, at least give it a try there, and if I end up liking it and don't finish it on Game Pass, maybe then I pick it up. But so we'll be back next week when Jeff returns. I'll explain why I always say I asked Jeff to say goodnight because we were asked what the origin of that is.
And
Jeff's not sure either, so.
I've almost guaranteed that at some point I'll cross paths with Peter as well.
I
Oh,
wouldn't be
maybe.
so sure about
Fingers crossed.
We'll be back next week. I'm not going to say goodnight, Jeff, because he's not here.
You could still say it. I mean, who knows? He might pop up.
Say goodnight, Jeff.
Wherever you are.
Wallace.
Where's Wallace? Where the fuck is Wallace?